Editor, An Inside Story of Newspapers by Max Hastings. Read by Charles Armstrong. Including an introduction read by the author.
Introduction. I have always disliked memoirs that exhaustively record their subjects' memories from the cradle to the brink of the grave, save in addressing the lives of very great men and women. In the course of a natural span, most of us experience long periods when not much happens that deserves recollection. Though I have published 3 volumes of autobiography, each focuses narrowly on a limited period, when things happen to me, of which a narrative seemed likely to find a readership outside my family, as has indeed proved the case. In Did You Really Shoot the Television? I described my rackety childhood, and especially my parents, journalists like myself, who might be criticized for many things, but never for being boring. In Going to the Wars, I recounted youthful days as a reporter, many of them spent chronicling conflicts around the world. In this book, which I promise is the last memoir that will ever appear under my name, I tell the story of how in 1986, wildly unexpectedly in both my own eyes and those of the British media industry, I became editor and then editor-in-chief of the Daily Telegraph and spent almost 10 years directing its fortunes. Though nearly all the personalities, and especially politicians, whose affairs I then addressed, are now forgotten or indeed dead, I believe the story still has relevance, particularly for readers who work in the media or aspire to do so. Our trade has moved onwards a country mile from those days when we were pioneers of the shift of newspaper production from hot metal printing into the computer and online age. The technology that for a season made some newspapers amazingly profitable, including the Daily Telegraph, now threatens to extinguish print titles altogether. Nonetheless, the pressures on journalists and newspapers, the rows between editors and governments, the struggle to discover and convey to readers at least some portion of the truth about what's taking place in the world around us, seems not much different today from those with which I lived a generation ago. In this new edition, I have not sought to revisit or revise anything that I wrote 20 years ago, for that would be dishonest. For instance, among favourite colleagues, I then numbered our former Brussels correspondent, the young Boris Johnson. I have not now expunged his name and picture, nor indeed my assertions of affection for him, merely because he suffered subsequent disgrace. He was then, as he remains today, a highly gifted entertainer. In the early 1990s, it never occurred to me, nor to anyone who knew him well, that he might seek high office in government, for which he was obviously wildly unsuited by reason of his extreme narcissism and indifference to other people, save as they served as an audience for him. In recent years, I've been quizzed by some political commentators, especially those of the New York Times and the Washington Post, for having employed and indulged as a foreign correspondent a man whose work was known, even then, to display an uncertain relationship with the truth. I responded to my inquisitors that journalism seeks not merely to inform, but also to entertain, which Johnson did brilliantly. He was not wrong to assert in his dispatches that the EU leadership and bureaucracy was then extravagantly committed to creating a federal Europe, and that some manifestations of EU regulation were grotesque. Moreover, it seems reasonable to judge journalists by a different standard from that which should be demanded of aspiring politicians, and especially prime ministers. None of this, I must admit, satisfied my critics. The harshest still accused me of being the man who invented Boris Johnson, a cause